In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we will quieten in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we, your children, have gathered together this morning around your holy word. We have gathered to be together to hear and believe and be comforted by your word, and also be refreshed by your sacrament of Holy Communion. Dear Heavenly Father, be with us this morning as you have promised to be when your children together gather together in your holy name. Dear Heavenly Father, you know each one of us. You know what is in our hearts. You know those sorrows, difficulties, all of these things that we come here with. You know how to comfort us as no one else can. So, dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your service blessing this morning. For we know that if you do not reveal your word and will unto us, we will not hear this word and will. Dear Heavenly Father, remember those also who can't gather with us. Remember those, dear Heavenly Father, who have lost this gift of faith, who have strayed from your kingdom. Call them back also, so that each one can be together and one day receive that eternal reward which is given unto all who believe. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you especially for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on our behalf, took upon himself our sins, so that by believing upon him, we have the hope of eternal life. And we yet pray as Jesus has taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This Sunday is Michaelmas Sunday, which is a day which is especially set aside to remember angels and children. And I have chosen the suggested gospel text for this morning from chapter 18, and I have included a little more than that part which is suggested. So I will read chapter 18 of Gospel of St. Matthew, verses 1 to 14. And the words in Jesus' name are as follows. At the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses! For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Amen. We heard Jesus' response here when his disciples asked him an interesting question. And we could think that this question came from their human mind, from their human wisdom, from that which we as people in this world, who live in this world, feel and see, is that there should be those who are greater and those who are lesser. And we see how even in our society we see that there are those who perhaps are esteemed more than others. This, of course, is a foreign concept to the Heavenly Father, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For God has created all, everyone. And he has created all for the same purpose as he first created the first humans into this world to dwell with him in eternity in heaven. And this is still his purpose for creating people into this world. And so therefore all are the same in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. There is no difference. Each person, whether they are male or female, no matter what country they are, what language they speak, before the Heavenly Father, each one is equal. And all those who accept his grace and believe his forgiveness, which is proclaimed from God's kingdom through the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood, each one is the same before the Heavenly Father. But we heard what this question was. At the same time, the disciples came on to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And we notice how Jesus answered them. We are told, and Jesus called a little child onto him and set him in the midst of them. So he used this example. He took a child who was there, as we see many children here this afternoon, today, who are gathered together here at services. There are many of them, and it is a blessing for us, because we know as God's children that this is where the future of God's kingdom is also, in these heavenly seedlings which God gives onto us as parents. And which we can also enjoy when we become grandparents. How God in this way gives his gifts onto his children, onto his obedient children who understand that it is not in their power, but only in the power of the Heavenly Father that these children are given onto them. And they want to be obedient to his word and will and to accept these children that God gives onto them. So Jesus called this little child onto him and set him in the midst of them. This little child he gave us an example to them. And we are all today here, from the smallest child to the oldest grandparents' children, aren't we? And God teaches us that we are his children. And he wants us to remain as his children in his kingdom throughout our lives. He doesn't want us to grow so big and so knowledgeable that we would forget this most important thing, that we are God's children, we are his own, because of the grace of the Heavenly Father, because he has called us into his kingdom, because he has forgiven us with the forgiveness of sins in the name and blood of his Son, and continues to do this all throughout our lives. And so, as God's children, we are happy to be children and to remain as children every day of our lives until God takes us from this time into eternity. So he called a little child unto him and said him in the midst of them, and he said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Here, God's will is so clear. When his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was traveling on this earth at that time as both man and God, as true man and God, reminded and told the people that you cannot be a child of God. You cannot enter his kingdom unless you repent and believe your sins forgiven. The greatest of all sins, as we understand, to be unbelief. Believe them forgiven and begin to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his children in his kingdom. And then he said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." But dear child of God, as we know and understand through faith, and we have experienced that, then when we believe, and we notice this with those people that we meet who have received the grace of repentance from the darkness of this world, we notice that when they believe, then they do, as Jesus said, become as little children. Because they understand then that it is not at all through them, anything that they can do, anything that they know or understand, that makes them acceptable unto God, but simply this, that Jesus did all for them. And they, understanding their own wretched condition, want to believe upon him. Believe their sins forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And so Jesus used this example to remind them not to be concerned about ranking in God's kingdom, that someone might be greater than others, but only this, that each one, when they believe, isn't even concerned about this. The only thing they are concerned of is that they can one day remain believing and one day receive that reward which has been promised unto all who believe. And so then, after he had explained to the people, and there were many, as we know, at this occasion, as always, listening, many who came with believing hearts, but also those who had heard about Jesus and were wondering what they would see because of the things they had heard. Then he told them, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus said in other places of his word, reminded us that he who is least in God's kingdom is greatest. In other words, that every child of God is equal before the Heavenly Father. And so he reminded that when we are able, even today and throughout our lives, travel as a humble child of God, believing our sins forgiven, that we are acceptable to the Heavenly Father, and that is what we want to be, because we are striving together for one reward, which is eternal life in heaven. We want to get to heaven. That is our reward. We don't want to lose this road onto our heavenly home. And so we do as we do this morning also. We gather together around God's Word. And we pray that God would reveal His Word and His will unto us and teach us of His kingdom. Then Jesus continued, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Jesus often spoke of children. There was that time when the people were gathered together, and children were then, as children are now, aren't they? That they are busy, and it doesn't seem they are paying attention, and it seems that they are hard to handle, hard to control, and so on, all of these things. And yet, Jesus, when the disciples were trying to get the parents to keep their children quiet, he took one of them into his lap and blessed them. He reminded us, who often are so impatient, that these are His. These children belong to Him. And isn't that so wonderful also for you young children, you small children, to know that Jesus is this friend that is with you always, no matter where you are, and who will never leave you. God's Word teaches us of this. And when you keep Him as your friend as a child, He will be your friend all your life through. He will be there even at that moment when your life ends and eternity begins, and you receive His reward of eternal life in heaven. So that's why we, as God's children, want to take heed to Jesus' words and to remain in a place of a child all through our lives. But then He speaks of this world and the temptations that we will experience in our life, the many, many temptations, and refers even to a bit to what this world around us is, which we experience. He begins by saying that, "But whoso whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." We who are parents and grandparents, already remembered how we often become impatient, don't we? And we do offend these little ones, these gifts that God has given unto us. But we also, who are their parents, we want to correct these offenses. And we want to ask them also if they can forgive us for those things that we say and do. And that is the preciousness of the small home congregation, isn't it? That the gospel of the forgiveness of sins is freely preached. That parents preach it to their children when they are disobedient. And children preach this gospel to their parents when they offend them. And in this way, this home is this congregation of God, where His gospel is freely preached, and His word is the most important thing. But we are busy, and we are forgetful. And so we often have to be even reminded of this. And not only this, but we often even have to be reminded of what a precious blessing these children are. Because it is tiring when many children are often born into families to accept them as they come. This can be a temptation for people. And in our world that we live in today, it has especially become a temptation because people don't understand it anymore. They don't understand these portions of God's Word, where we are reminded of the preciousness of living faith, the preciousness of accepting those children which God gives. And so not only do we have this impatience and this tiredness in ourselves, but we have this pressure from the world around us. And in that way, it can especially become a temptation. But it's important here to see what the Heavenly Father is reminding us of when he says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And woe unto the world because of offenses." We and God's children have always lived in the midst of the world. Jesus prayed on behalf of his own, not that he would take them from the world, but that he would protect them from the evil of this world. And God has given us that and gives us that protection. He gives us those weapons that we need to battle this constant battle against the threefold enemy, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And so when we travel believing upon him, then we understand that it is God who gives us the strength in all aspects of our lives, at all times of our lives, at all phases of our lives. And when we travel believing upon him, then we have this care. But he reminded, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Jesus knew. And Jesus also taught and instructed his disciples when he was traveling in this world and preaching unto them, calling people to follow him. He knew that soon that time would come when he would have to be suffered and when he would suffer and die. When his word to those who could not accept it and believe it became such a great offense that they strove to find ways to end his life, to put him to death, which was that lot which was to come, because he had come into this world for that purpose, to suffer and die and to take away our sins through his precious blood which he shed on the cross. But he is reminding here also that these offenses must come. And we know that they will continue to come in this world until Jesus comes again as he has promised and comes to take all those who have believed upon him unto their eternal life in heaven, and those who have not believed to receive their eternal reward of condemnation. He knows that these offenses will come, and we know that they will. But as God's children, we have to concentrate on one thing, don't we? We don't have to worry about the future so much. We have to be aware of the dangers, definitely. But we must more be concerned that we don't become careless, that we don't lose this gift of faith. This has always been a concern for God's children, and it seems perhaps even more at this time, to the time towards the end of time, that it is especially the case. There are so many deceiving things in this world, and we also so readily want to use our own wisdom, our own reason, to figure out things that are spiritual, which we cannot do. Because God's Word teaches us that we have to put our mind in captivity, in subjection, so that we can freely believe the simple gospel of the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, Jesus was reminding us of this, as he reminded his disciples here and all who heard. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Obviously, Jesus didn't mean this literally, as he always spoke in parables and pictures. But isn't this also what we were discussing last night when we were discussing about God's forgiveness? How we want to avoid temptation. And when we avoid temptation and do that which we are able to do to avoid it, then it's easier for us than to try those things out which are contrary to God's word and therefore burn ourselves. But God still knows us. He knows each one of us. And he will call on to us through our consciences, as we have heard, because we always do fall short. We always fall into sin. And we need to believe these sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. So he's telling us here to avoid those things that you know that are dangerous unto you. Those things that are especially appealing from this world, which is so sinful. And then your life as a child of God will be so much easier. But still, to always remember that even though we do this, we still fall into sin. Those things that we don't want to do, we do. And those things we would want to do, we don't do. And that's why we are completely dependent upon the grace of our Heavenly Father. And why we want to travel gathering the blood drops of his Son. Jesus yet continued, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." This is something for you young children to realize, that Jesus is saying to you that in heaven your angels do always behold the face of your Father who is in heaven. You are protected in this life in a way that you don't maybe even really understand and realize, because these angels, your own guardian angels, are there helping you. Heed God's word, which he speaks to you through your consciences. And when you fall into sin, hasten to put sin away and believe it forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And this way, you continue following Jesus throughout your entire lives. He is so close to you, now and always, because he is with you. He is with all of God's children. And even though he isn't here anymore talking to us, like he was talking to these disciples and the others who were listening so long ago, he is just as much with us, because he has promised to be with his own every day until the end of the world. He is with us through his Spirit, which teaches and guides us in all things. Then we are reminded of Jesus reminded why he was there, why God had sent him, and why he was speaking to them at that time also. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Jesus already promised the Father before he created this world, before he created the first humans to dwell with him. He promised, God asked Jesus if he would redeem sin-fallen mankind. And Jesus was willing to do that. His son was willing to do that. And when it so happened that God created this world and everything in it, and he created, his time had come, and he created Adam and his wife Eve from his rib. And they fell into sin. God forgave them their sin. He clothed them with his robe of righteousness. And what did he promise unto them? He promised Jesus. He promised the Savior. And it was because they believed this promise that they were acceptable to God. It has always been so. We remember how soon afterwards their eldest son murdered his brother and rejected and did not believe that promise, and so quickly lost this gift which he owned also. And so that is why we as God's children want to understand how important it is to be watchful. But Jesus reminded here that the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And he used this example. He said, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray?" And so, when a shepherd would lose this one sheep and doesn't know where it is, he goes to find it. He leaves the others and goes. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Isn't it always wonderful news for us also that we hear that somewhere, whether it be in our congregation or our country or in another country, has received the grace of repentance, has been able to believe their sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. That always brings joy. It brings joy to God's children. It brings joy in heaven. Because, as we heard here, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. And that doesn't mean, dear child of God, that the 99 which didn't go astray weren't equally precious to him. It means that this concern is for those who have been lost. And the desire is that they could be found again. This is the desire of the Good Shepherd. This is the desire of the Heavenly Father. And this is the desire of his children, that no one would be lost, but that all would receive this gift. So Jesus continued then, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little children should perish." Our Heavenly Father doesn't want anyone to lose this gift, no matter how young or how old he is. And his care for us is so close that he reminds us in our own consciences when we have fallen into sin to put this sin away. This is how close his care is for each one of us. And we can trust upon this care. And even this morning, dear child of God, you, trusting upon this care of your Heavenly Father, can uplift your hearts and believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And I also, feeling my sinfulness, ask, can you bless me as well? I want to believe with you. And also this morning when God has given us this festive time to celebrate his sacrament, Holy Communion, we understand that Jesus instituted this so that when we eat the body and drink the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our faith will be strengthened. And we will have this actual physical assurance of the forgiveness of sins. But God's word reminds us that it is given for those who believe their own sins forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And when it is taken with this faith, it is a blessing and a gift from the Heavenly Father for us. In Jesus' name, amen.